Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Join me as I seek out the small incremental changes being applied in other industries that we can learn from and that can be applied in healthcare. Can these changes bring immediate value, but also add up to the big improvements and revolution we need in healthcare? Come along with me to explore the possibilities. My innovative guests from around the globe have used small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. And today, I'm delighted to be joined by Ted Willich. He is the CEO of NLP Logics. Ted, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. I appreciate it.
So for the benefit of the listeners, tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey to this point of running a company that is focused on delivering AI into not just healthcare, but obviously healthcare is a big part of it.
Sure. It's been an interesting journey, and hopefully I'm only midway through it, but the journey started in Southern California, where I grew up in a place called Mission Viejo. And then growing up there, I had a really, really good time in high school, and my grades reflected that. And the only college I could get into was Ripon College, a small liberal arts school in Wisconsin, and where I majored in history, because that was the easiest subject I could get through to get the degree. And that qualified me to go join the Marine Corps. And I served as an infantry officer for a few years. So Nick, you have pre-law, you have pre-med. Well, history is pre-infantry. So very well prepared. So, but did that for a few years. And it was really there where I got my love, if anything, and fascination with technology and what technology can do. We were just getting ready to go into Saudi Arabia and Kuwait for the first Gulf War, and one of our biggest fears, especially as an infantry officer, is you have to know where you are. Like, it's very, very important to know where you are in relation to everything. Mm-hmm. And the desert in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait is very flat, featureless. And once you're there, you have no idea where you are. So we were all kind of nervous. We looked at the maps. We're like, how are we going to do this? And then about 2 weeks before the ground war, they flew these magic boxes to us. And these magic boxes were about the size of the old stereos that were in cars. And they opened them up and they showed it to us. And they said it was this thing called GPS that none of us had heard of before. And so these magic boxes all of a sudden transformed in this beautiful technology, you know, had a real transformational impact. And it was after that I just, you know, really started studying more about technology, understanding it. When I got off active duty in 92, co-founded a company with my dad that built hospital and physician networks, did that for about 20 years. Most of our customers were prisons. They're kind of the ultimate ACO, if you will, or medical home. And so we did that. Towards the end there, we were doing a lot of predictive modeling and machine learning to predict the cost of each episode of care, as well as building intelligence around patient scheduling. Because as you can imagine, with prisoners, logistics is a big issue. And we were quite large. We had a couple hundred thousand prisoners that we provided the care for. And so we really got into machine learning. And so now this is, you know, 8 years ago, and it was a little bit before AI and machine learning was cool. But left there, started this company, NLP Logics. Ironically, our original business plan was to use natural language processing to integrate disparate health IT systems. That's how we were going to set the world on fire. And that's why our name is NLP Logics. Couple months in after starting the company, Matt Burseth, our lead scientist, started competing in data science contests hosted by Kaggle. I don't know if you're familiar, but it's Kaggle.com, was just recently bought by Google, but it's kind of the Coliseum for data scientists. And companies would put up large data sets, they'd put up a challenge, and then they'd put up cash. And so if you win, you got the cash. And the first contest that he entered into was actually sponsored by Practice Fusion, the electronic health record. And the challenge was build an algorithm that could most accurately identify patients with undiagnosed type 2 diabetes. And he went through the contest and he ended up winning. And we were saying, hooray, we've got this algorithm that can identify patients with undiagnosed type 2 diabetes. Let's go take that and monetize it. And Matt said, well, we can't because the algorithm is so complex because it was designed to win a contest. It wasn't designed to be put in production. And that's when we had our aha moment and said, okay, we're not only going to focus and do work in healthcare because we love healthcare, we are also look at all these other industries where predictive modeling and machine learning is applicable. So we went out, we changed our business model. We focused on building machine learning algorithms and very good ones. But then secondly, and maybe more importantly, we focused on actually putting them into production. Those are two very different tasks. And so went out, raised very small amount of angel investment from the community here in Jacksonville. And, you know, got to work. Our first customer was a automotive marketing company, and we built response models. And then our second customer was a circuit board manufacturer over in the UK that wanted to know which of their customers had the highest probability of churn based on all the different variables. Our first bigger break came, we got a contract with the University of Florida and the Florida Poison Information Center Network. And Dr. Jay Schauben, the head of the Florida Poison Information Center Network, there's three centers here in Florida. There's one in Tampa, Miami, and here in Jacksonville. And he wanted to develop and deploy algorithms on their systems to look for trends and outbreaks and really be a very proactive public health monitoring system. So we built it out and it still, is chugging away even today. And we've since brought on Alabama as a client, their poison control center, and it's really been very satisfying. And it was really kind of our first bigger break because it was a bigger name, bigger customer. We just kept growing the company from there. And I'm told and have been told by a number of venture folks that we're probably one of the faster growing machine learning / AI companies. But Nick, I think that's only because companies like us, before they get to a certain size, they get bought up. So,
Yeah, so you haven't been bought up yet, is what you're saying as part of that.
That's right. We've not. We've gotten plenty of phone calls, but I think being in Jacksonville really helped us keep under the radar to the point to where we were able to grow the company to where we are now, where we've been profitable for the last, 3 or 4 years. We've got the cadence. We're building the team. We're having a lot of fun. Right now, we can't sell the company because I'm unemployable. I can't work for anybody else. So I have to hang with this gig for a while.
So, fascinating story that sort of includes a number of what to me are, incremental learning points. And, the first one that's very clear in all of this is this, the initial idea, whilst it's great for sort of starting things, proves not to be the ultimate solution, not even close in your instance. That trigger point and the connection of things, and in fact, the story behind GPS is truly fascinating. It's that whole reverse thing with Sputnik and the fact that they said, hey, we can see where Sputnik is. Wait, can we do that the other way around? Just so many opportunities essentially to think different, which, clearly you've done with the range of customers. So tell us a little bit about where you are now. So you have a number of activities and brands, but specifically, I know you have this tool set and solution called Scribe Fusion. Help us understand what that is and why is it AI? I mean, everybody uses AI, and I'm reticent to even talk about it sometimes because it's been around for eons. I mean, my brother wrote a paper on it a long time ago when he was in college, and that was a long time ago. What is it that you're doing and how is this different to things that have gone on before?
Mm-hmm. So I think kind of going to where we are today, so we continue to build custom solutions. We love that work. And that's where a company will have some type of task or something that they want automated. An example is we're doing a custom solution for a medical record coding company. So we're teaching the computers to code medical records. We also just recently got a contract to support the F-35 aircraft using our library of algorithms to help support the maintenance. So what we call our solutions is a very broad, you know, in very industry agnostic, you know, solutions that that we enjoy building. We have three products. One is called Matchpoint, and Matchpoint automates what recruiters do. It's out in the wild right now at a number of pretty big staffing companies. What it does in a nutshell, Nick, is, you know, job requirement comes in. Now you have to think this is very high volume staffing. Job requirement comes in. We read the job requirement using natural language processing. We bounce it up against the database that the staffing company has, look for the best candidate match. Then we have bots that'll send a text message to the top candidates. And then when they reply back, it'll bounce up against a sentiment analysis model for positive or negative reaction. And then if it's positive, they push it off to the humans to now do the human thing. And so it's been a very good product, and we're still growing it out. Our second product is what we call Paypensity, and Paypensity is a propensity to pay score. So using machine learning, using large transactional data sets, we can assign the probability that someone will pay a bill or not. And our customers we have a number of customers, including some of the larger debt recovery companies in the US. And then the last product is what I know we want to talk about a little bit more here today is Scribe Fusion. And Scribe Fusion is a application that uses a deep learning neural network to identify and extract information off of documents. So, you know, kind of it's really the next gen of OCR, which has been around, you know, forever, but there really haven't been a lot of advancements made on top of OCR. So coincidentally, just 2 weeks ago, we did receive our patent. We applied for a patent on this process and were awarded it. So we're very, very proud of that. And so right now we're processing. We have a number of customers. We process about 30 million documents a month. And so it's up and running. It does require, you know, GPU powered machines. It's, you know, obviously processing document images at a very high rate. And we were able to take the OCR capture rate for our customer from about 50% of what they were able to capture in a document to over 90. And they were able to reduce their staff that were doing the mind numbing key from image work significantly.
So when you say it's OCR work, you're talking about character recognition, scanning documents, and then drilling into them. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's probably the most mundane thing in the world, but there's still paper out there, and people need to extract information off of it. And
right.
And ironically, the core algorithm was used in a data science contest to identify breast cancer tumors from a contest about 3 years ago.
So for those of you just joining, I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and today I'm talking to Ted Willich. He is the CEO of NLP Logic. We were just talking about the sort of genesis of Scribe Fusion, and you mentioned something that I think is interesting. So this product wasn't originally intended to do what it was doing. So tell us a little bit about the background to that.
Sure. And I love the name of the show, The Incrementalist, because that is probably the story not only of our company, but also some of the technologies we developed. But the story goes back to late 2015. And Matt Berseth, our lead scientist, said, if we're going to be a true machine learning company, we've got to get into deep nets and getting into deep learning. And just like we did at the beginning of the company with the data science contest hosted by Kaggle, There was another one called the Chameleon 16, and it was hosted over in Europe. And what they did was they, and the contest was to train the computers to identify tumors and breast cancer pathology slides at or better than human level. And so what they did was they had three renowned pathologists over in Europe go and painfully annotate, I believe it was a couple hundred pathology slides. And they did it individually. And then afterwards, they got together and did it as all three. So it was at the end, it was the ground truth of saying, this is the best annotated identified in these slides. And then they released it to the wild and said, okay, you know, here's your training data set, you know, start going at it. Of course, they held out samples that the computers hadn't seen yet, so we didn't get any overfitting. And so we ended up coming in fifth in that contest. And it was, and we were the number one commercial company. The other groups, including the team that won, which was a combined team of Harvard Medical School and MIT, which hardly seems fair. But we were the number one commercial company. We even beat a team from Google. So we were proud of that. Matt went over to Prague to present what we had done, and the first four groups had presented and said how they did it and everything, you know, the research and what they learned. And then Matt presented and kind of did the same thing. But then he said, and we designed this algorithm to be put into production today. So we literally built it so that we could get it out in the wild. And we tried, I'm telling you, Nick, we tried to sell it. We tried to do, you know, whatever we could. We just couldn't monetize it. There was just no way. And then a group up in Wisconsin, a business process outsource company that processes documents, heard about the contest. They flew down here to Jacksonville. They sat in our conference room and said, if you can find a breast cancer tumor on a pathology slide, can you find something in a document image, like a stamp or a date or characters that OCR right. can't pick up? We said, of course. And so we just retrained that core algorithm to not look for breast cancer tumors, but to look for characters.
Interesting. So I once again, that sort of principle of the first idea not playing into the ultimate solution. But, you know, it's interesting. And you'd already learned. So you'd learned from that first experience where you created something, but it wasn't commercializable because, you know, engineers build for engineering purposes. And despite that, it still didn't. It's interesting to me. I've actually come across at least one, and I think there's a few others that are doing precisely this with breast cancer, you know, based on that concept. So maybe there was some timing elements to it and, you know, the pivot for you to something that was slightly different. So help us understand, you know, you specifically talked about a deep learning neural net. You know, I think it would be helpful to understand that in the context of artificial intelligence, deep learning, machine learning. Can you share a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes here?
Yeah, I think for us, the way we describe AI, and I'm using air quotes, which isn't very good for a podcast, but we look at AI as the combining of different technologies that do very specific things. So if you want to teach a computer to read or to hear or to speak, you use natural language processing. If you want to teach a computer to see or to identify things in imagery, then you use computer vision, which uses deep learning techniques. You know, if you want to teach a computer to estimate what is probably going to happen given, you know, certain features, then you use, you know, predictive modeling. There's also, you know, technologies like RPA, robotic process automation, where you're essentially teaching computers to, you know, click things or do certain actions. So really, from what we've seen, that's as far technologically probably where we are right now, where you have single purpose technologies doing things and doing them very well and getting better every day. You know, we're really not there yet. It probably won't be for a while of, you know, true artificial intelligence. That's just our, you know, that's kind of our opinion from where we
sit. Yeah, so if I sort of took that and morphed it into a slightly different variant, I'd say it's like a menu of tools that you can apply for different purposes, and you're essentially combining those into a unique proposition. In this case, in Scribe Fusion's solution, you've obviously got the computer vision because you're scanning documents, right? And then you're doing some NLP because you're understanding that. In the limited amount of time we've got left, tell us a little bit about the results of that. What successes? What are people using this for? And how is this making a difference?
The way people are using it right now is to process and classify documents at a very, very high rate. So one of our customers is providing scanning and archiving for a very large agency. And you're talking about billions of documents. And so just classifying what type of document it is a challenge that we've conquered. And then once you figure out which document it is, okay, what information do I need off of that? We're also doing very high volumes of healthcare claim forms for some insurance companies that get documents in a very messy format that need to be cleaned up. And so that's been something we've been able to do as well. And to your point, at the end of that pipeline, we're using natural language processing to read and extract information out and then do things with it. So really, it's been just an amazing incremental journey going from PROG and breast cancer tumors to actually delivering value at a point where the customer sees it, they want to pay for it, they get an ROI. And the great thing, Nick, is if we make a mistake, no one dies.
That's always a good thing, to be clear, especially in healthcare. Fantastic. So in the closing minute, any thoughts on what's next? What is the next big sort of inflection point, maybe not just for you, but for this whole space of the AI tool set as the broadest group, do you think? Mm-hmm.
I think the next big things are how fast the technology is improving, and then how fast people are coming up with different applications for this. Someone asked me the other day, like, where I thought healthcare would be with AI, and my opinion, I still believe this, that I do think Google will be in 5 to 10 years one of the largest providers, in the U.S. if not world, just from the standpoint that they've got the compute power with all of this medical imagery that it takes to train these algorithms. So now all of a sudden, in 5 or 10 years, we're not going to want humans necessarily reading our pathology slides or our x-rays. You're going to want, all the years of human experience doing that combined into one algorithm and
right,
benefiting that way.
You want all of the experience contributing to that moment, that particular point, and it's constantly changing. And the idea that we can keep up is, almost an impossible task at this point. And, from my perspective, it's all about augmentation of our capacity, I think, very much so. Unfortunately, as usual, we've run out of time. Fascinating sort of exploration, an area that I've sort of really dived into recently in a number of presentations that I've given. Excited about the work that you've done, and appreciate you taking the time, Ted. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you for joining me.
Yes, likewise, Nick. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, The Incrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, The Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.